It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Detroit Red Wings 6-3. Vegas improves to 41-20 and 890 points on the year. Next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock puck drop against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bring in the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan? Let's start with Jack Eichel, new career high, 600 NHL points, a milestone night for Jack Eichel. What stood out to you about his overall game once again today?
Synergy with Mark Stone and Ivan Barbashev, Ryan, but I think you'd rather hear from Bruce Cassidy, and he is just stepping to the podium if you'd like to go to Bruce.
All right, let's go downstairs to Bruce Cassidy.
Certain things in the game that needs to be shored up, and penalty kill was the one that they focused on. So what kind of message does that send to other guys in the room that, hey, we scored 6 goals, but we still need to be better in certain areas?
Well, I think our guys know what we are, how we play. They're an astute group, so there's always things I feel like our team wants to get better at. As a coach, you'd love to hear that because that's how coaches operate. They always look at the good in the game, but, okay, what do we need to fix, right? And it's usually something. That's just pro sports, so good for them for recognizing that. Detroit, I'll say this is, I don't know, they're in the top, who knows, after 3-2-1. I think it's we're up there in Winnipeg and whatever order it is, so they're a good group, so you can't beat yourself up, but there's certain things you probably have to do better against a group like that that's going to capitalize, just like their penalty kill against us. And when we're humming, there's certain things you just got to bear down on. And what are those? Well, they might change from team to team, but tonight we weren't able to win a puck battle a couple of times to get the clear. So that's the first thing you always want to do is keep a good power play out of your end, or in your end as least amount as possible, right? That's face-offs, clears, and we weren't able to do that well enough tonight, and they took advantage. So good for the guys to acknowledge that. And it's a hard thing to practice a penalty kill. It really is, because you got to simulate what other teams are doing all the time. So it's a video, it's a teaching, it's reminders, and hopefully it translates onto the ice and a good game plan, so we have to look at that as well.
How important, even though it didn't turn out to be the winning goal, but Nick Waugh's goal at the end of the first period, because you think you score and you're up 2, and then it's taken off the board. Detroit seemed to have a lot of momentum immediately after that, and then you kind of took it right away from into the room.
Yeah, those are tough goals to give up, so they're great to have for us, especially them on the road. If they're probably thinking if we can get to the intermission 2-1 when one comes off the board, that, you know, really they, you know, it was a really close call, and so it probably was a little deflating for them, especially it's a 5-on-5 goal, right? And that's, you know, not the strength of their game. So now we're playing to our strength even more. So good for the guys. You know, it was one of those deals. We just put 2 centermen out as a right-hand draw, and Nick ends up scoring. So good for him, because that is kind of a crappy, you're out there for a D-zone draw, so those are not the optimal times to be. You want the O-zone draws. Now he ends up scoring anyway. So credit to him, and probably good for him, because he deserves a break like that every once in a while, and he's a good soldier for the team. So, yeah, it was a timely goal, and I felt we'd got to our game after the first 10 minutes, even though the goal came off the board. It's how we wanted to play, get the puck as deep as possible in their zone, force them to sort out coverage, just hang on to it, use our size, and, you know, get to the net. And so we figured if we kept with that, even though it came off the board, we would be okay, and that's the way it turned out.
Danny, then Ashley.
Hey, Bruce. Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal. You've talked before about teams kind of focusing on Tomas and the bumper, how they've been kind of taking that away. Both of his power play goals, both a result of him kind of getting away from the bumper, cutting into the middle. Is that more so just by coincidence, or is that just kind of something that just worked out with Tomas?
No, that's by design. I mean, you got to move him around if they're going to take him away. He's one of our best options. But they gave Stoney all kinds of time in the drop-off. We saw that in video. So, okay, so what plays does he have? Well, the first one he has, he can wipe across the front of the net, and he did that, the first power play. And, they made a great save, and Pav got the rebound and shot it right into his another great save, whether he saw it or not. So we knew that play would be there. So at the end of the day, they were overplaying Pav a little bit. So he moved out of the way a little, and Tomas right down. So we have 2 net front presence instead of a bumper and a net front. And it happened to work. We made the play. But those are plays you got to make. Sometimes they'll overplay Stoney, and Jack will slip it into Hurdle without it going down to Stoney. So depending on where sticks are and people line up, we still want to go to our plays if we can help it. So good job in the pre-scout, and then good job for us executing it and the guys seeing what was available. Because, you know, we've done that to a few teams, right, where Thomas goes backdoor, and sometimes Pavel slide even higher depending on what they do with their backside guy. So that's just sort of stuff that you pick up when, you know, in the morning when you're watching, or the day before, whenever it happens to be, and try to implement it and see if it works.
What went into the decision to switch your D pairings back to what we saw early in the year?
I thought if maybe one pair wasn't as crisp as they were, so we'll just move people around, see if that gets us going a little bit. You know, we do that up front. I usually leave that to Johnny, but tonight it's just something I saw I didn't like. That's all. Coach being cranky, salty. So let's see if, you know, something else works a little better. Sometimes it just gets people's attention, and, you know, them, all of a sudden they're like, well, what's going on? And then they just start worrying about their own game, which is the most important thing. Worry about your own game, play your game. We got a lot of good players in that room. So that was it.
Hey, Bruce, Gary Lawless. Since you got here, you've talked to us about your team wanting to build the game as the season, build your game as the season goes on. 13 to go. Where are you in, where do you think you are in terms of building your game?
Well, I think it's been good. Contrary to maybe what our record would indicate, I think our overall game has been good. You know, coming out of January 1st, we just didn't get the results all every night. We weren't scoring in some of those 2-1 games that I thought we were playing the right way. The puck wasn't going in. Little hiccup last week in the road. We've already addressed that. We had a bad one in Detroit. You know, let one get away in Buffalo, but, you know, I think we're playing pretty good hockey for the most part. We had a tough one against LA here, but we battled right back, and we just ran out of time. I think we could have got points. So I'm looking at that part of it, I think, has been pretty good. Now, all of a sudden, it goes in on Thursday, it goes in tonight, so maybe the goals will start coming again at home like they did earlier this year. There's always a balance of that. But so I'm pleased that, to the comment earlier, we want to work on things that we need to get better at. So there's a good example of our team knowing that, hey, we're getting there, but there's things to go. We're getting William Karlsson back in the mix, you know, get him up to speed. Theo's right around the corner. So, you know, that'll help us build our game as well, get those guys in. They're difference makers. So I think Hilly's been pretty consistent night in, night out. So that matters as well. You know, you want your goaltending to be sharp, give you a chance. So I like the way it's trending. But there's always a few things, and we'll, you know, grind those out for 13 games, see where it leads us.
Last two, we'll go Allen, then Paul.
Hi, Bruce. You've done a
great... Hi, Allen. How are you?
Good.
Good.
You've done a pretty good job piling up the wins at home. On the road, not so much. I think you're like two games above 500 on the road. I'm just wondering, do you have any explanation for the disparity? And is it a factor that you think has to be addressed before the playoffs?
I will say this. I think on the road, our record, when we had a number of players out of the lineup, we didn't have the depth. So you could be at a disadvantage of the line change situations from time to time. And I think there would have been times that may have worked against us. I think there's some games that we've let get away from us in the road, much more than at home, even in those overtime or loss, sort of, whatever, the loser point, whatever you want to call it, that we didn't turn into wins. But I still think we've played better at home. And I think our road record should be better than it is because of those couple things I mentioned, but we have been better at home. We've been able to turn a one-goal lead into a two-goal lead and a three-goal lead, it seems, in this building. On the road, we haven't been able to extend leads as well. And that's why we haven't been able to separate ourselves a little bit. That's what I think has happened. I don't think it's anything more than that. I don't think it's our players are, you know, not good road players. They've proven they are. It's just that's the way it's worked out this year.
Hi, Bruce. Paul De Los Santos, NHL.com. Between Pavel and Tomas, you have 60 goals. Like, how is that pair working, especially since you put them together overall?
Very well. Yeah. Very well. Yeah, I would say very well. Sorry, I cut you off. Well, they found chemistry together. We didn't know going into the year where I thought Pav might end up playing with Carly. That last year they had with Smitty, when Pav had a run, someone was injured, so we ended up putting that together, and I liked the way it looked. So we thought coming into the year that might be a pair, Carly and Pav, we'll see who would fit on the other side or which wing Pav would even play because he plays both. He's been able to handle the offside. For a young guy, that's another thing that's not talked about enough. It's not easy to catch a lot of passes through the neutral zone on a breakout on your backhand and be able to corral pucks. That's where his strength is. I mean, I watched, I think it was the third period. It's a kind of a nothing play, but it's a breakout. In front of our bench, he's handling it. He's weaving through people. I don't know if he does that 2 years ago or last year. And that's playoff hockey where you need to be hard and heavy on your stick. And he's just done a really good job with that. And so that is what Thomas does now naturally and been doing the league for a long time. So I think the reason they're hard guys on the puck, so they buy a little bit more time for each other to get open. And I think they're both willing to shoot. It's not too often you see two guys in a line that – does Thomas have more goals and assists now? Like, you don't always see that, right? Quick question for anybody out there. Does anybody know the – because I think the answer might be – 30 and 28. So he has more, and so does Pav, right? So that, you think, well, who's passing them the puck, right? It works. So good for them. Satter's come in a bit of a nice addition. He's made some plays for them, but he's only been here, whatever it is, a month. So they're just read off each other well and know that the puck's going to the net, usually sooner or later when they get it. So it's worked out well. And that sort of say, well, do you need to lend one of those scores to a more of an overpassing line? Well, we're not going to mess with that right now, but that's something that you'd always put in the back of your head. But other than that, you'd have to ask them if they see something out there and they communicate. Don't forget, you got a Russian and a Czech, so they might be speaking a language I don't understand on the bench, and that could be as simple as that, what they see going on. And I'm all for it. Whatever you're doing, go right ahead, because I'm not interrupting their flow. The only thing I'm reminding them is it's a 200-foot game. Manage the puck, manage your shift length, and be careful getting three guys below the goal line, because there was a couple times tonight they got stuck and DeBrincat line comes down the ice and they're a real good line rush line. Not on the goal. That was, there was a middle of a line change, but a couple times in the second period. And that's mostly the conversation I've had with those two guys, is be mindful of your spacing in the ozone because you can get burnt in those second periods. And they've taken it to heart, and they've been excellent for us.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 6-3 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll slide back over to the radio booth and continue the conversation with Dan Duva. And Dan, we started with Jack Eichel, and obviously you talked about the synergy he's starting to have again with Ivan Barbashev and Mark Stone, and it's capped off by his 4-point night and 600th career NHL point.
Yeah, and I think Gary touched on this earlier in the broadcast, Ryan, and Ivan said it himself when we chatted during last game. Coming back from the injury, Ivan admitted it's taken him longer than he would have liked to feel like himself again. And again, upper body injury, remember, he got slew-footed in Minnesota, hits his head on the ice. So you've got to feel confident and assertive to be the kind of player that Ivan Barbashev is. Now, he's got 20 goals, right? It's just something that he's only done once before in his career. A lot of the offense came early this season. Can you find that magic again? The production levels for those players, Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone, while they've been good this year as a group, at one point Barbashev was on pace for 40 goals and 40 assists. I think that what you see now with him being more physical, that more assertive, then the everything sort of clicks in a little bit better with Jack and with Mark. So you saw that, I think, another step today. It's not quite what we saw at its height early in the season, but I think that it took another step in that direction here today. And, look at the numbers. I mean, Jack had 4 points today. So you can't quibble. But I think that, as those guys are playing, their game, Ivan had been playing with different players for a bit. But, Bruce is... always come back to Barbashev and Eichel as a pair, and Stone has been with them for a lion's share of this season. And, give them this runway, 13 games go, to hit their stride and try to perhaps find the level of offense we saw at the beginning of the season.
So 3 games three home games in a row with a hat trick for the Golden Knights, two for Tomas Hertl, one for Pavel Dorofeev. So naturally the question is, does Dorofeev get another hat trick tomorrow against Tampa? Because we got to keep this going. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, yeah. No, someone let Pavel know that that's what we expect tomorrow. My goodness. Yeah, it's like they go back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, interestingly, like Hertl had no points against the Bruins, right? Mm-hmm. Today, you know, it's like same thing. Like Dorofeev, no points today. As Bruce just said, like somebody's got to be passing these guys the puck. How does this all work statistically speaking? It is actually to the Golden Knights' benefit when you really have, you know, one guy taking control night to night. And so you feel like you've got to, you know, one up your teammate, so to speak, you know. It's not just going to be a one-off when you have a great night as a line. You want, hey, this guy on this line will drive it today. Next game, it'll be the other guy. That's fun. And it just seems to be Hertl and Dorofeev egging each other on with Brandon Saad calling from behind, like, I want to be part of this. And he was great, you know, two assists in the last game against the Bruins. And I said it to Bruce on the pregame show today. I thought it was Saad's best game as a Golden Knight against the Bruins. And once again, we saw Saad play well today. Statistically speaking, you know, it wasn't the same. He didn't have any points today, but he did have four shots, played just under 15 minutes. It's been a solid run for that line, that's for sure.
All right, great stuff as always on the call, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat tomorrow.
Thanks, Ryan. You too.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 6-3 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights over the Detroit Red Wings. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Detroit Red Wings 6-3. Vegas back in the win column, now two in a row, 41, 20, and 8, 90 points on the year. Next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock puck drop here inside T-Mobile Arena against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Golden Knights only waiting on Shea Theodore. Once Theodore is healthy and ready to go, the Golden Knights will be fully healthy down the stretch for that drive to the playoffs. So the only guy right now missing due to health is Shea Theodore. Take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period, and we talked about the importance of power plays in this game. The Red Wings got the first power play of the game and opened the scoring after Lucas Raymond's centering pass went off Alex Pietrangelo and in.
Former Blackhawk into the slot. Extra feed. Left tip. Score! And the Red Wings strike first. A power play goal. 1-0 Detroit. 5 minutes into the first period.
24th goal of the year for Lucas Raymond from Dylan Larkin and Patrick Kane on the power play at 4:47 of the first period, made it 1-0 Detroit. But the Golden Knights got the second power play of the game and answered with a goal of their own from Tomas Hertl.
Looking toward the middle, sees Dorofeev at the back door, instead to Stone at the near side. Now in front, they score! That's
Goal of the year for Tomas Hertl on the power play from Mark Stone and Jack Eichel. 11:47 of the first period tied the game at one. The Golden Knights took the lead 5 minutes later when Tomas Hertl scored his second of the period on an excellent deflection.
Korzak left, McNabb a slap shot, score!
Goal of the year for Tomas Hertl, second of the period from Braden McNabb and Caden Korzak. 16:32 of the first, made it 2-1 Vegas. And the Golden Knights thought they had made it 3-1 on Nick Hague's blast from the point, but Detroit challenged successfully that the play was offside.
Left corner, Kolesar out high, Hague shoots, he scores! 3-1 Golden Knights.
After review, it was determined that the play was offside. Therefore, the call is there is no goal.
However, the Golden Knights were not deterred by the goal that was called back, and they did make it 3-1 on Nick Waugh's buzzer beater.
Quick forward pass by Korzak. Barbashev with 4 seconds. Barbashev in front. Waugh scores! 2 seconds to go in the first. Nicholas Waugh's 10th of the year, set up by Ivan Barbashev.
Nick Waugh from Ivan Barbashev and Jack Eichel, 1957 of the first period, made it 3-1 Vegas. The Golden Knights would take that two-goal lead into the second period, and Brett Howden was called early in the second period for roughing, and the Red Wings once again tallied on the power play as Patrick Kane pounced on a rebound.
Wings keep it alive. Raymond on the left to the goal line. DeBrinket tried to feather it in front. Now a shot. Save Hill. Rebound score. Another power play goal for Detroit. It's a one-goal game with 18:11 to go in the second period, and the Knights now lead it 3-2.
Patrick Kane from Mo Sider and Dylan Larkin on the power play, 1:49 of the second period, made it 3-2 Vegas. But the Golden Knights regained their two-goal lead 5 minutes later when Alex Petrangelo's shot bounced right to a wide-open Mark Stone.
Back in they come on the right. Hannafin opens up to the point. Petrangelo's shot. Rebound score! Second.
18th goal of the year for Mark Stone from Alex Petrangelo and Noah Hanifin. 7:07 of the second period made it 4-2 Vegas, and the Golden Knights added to their lead less than a minute later as Tomáš Hertl converted on the power play for the hat trick.
Eichel at the left wall, scanning. Hanifin again. Eichel, who's got 2 points already in this game, down to Stone, left goal line, walking, looking, in front, Hertl! That's another hat trick!
30th goal of the year for Tomáš Hertl on the power play from Mark Stone and Jack Eichel. 8:02 of the second period made it 5-2 Vegas. The Golden Knights had a 3-goal lead going into the third period, and the Red Wings made it a 2-goal game midway through the third on a wicked shot from Alex DeBrinket.
Right wing shot, score for Alex DeBrinket. Beats Aiden Hill by his glove. And the first goal of each period has now gone to the Red Wings. They trail 5-3 with 10:24 to go in the third.
Alex DeBrinket from Patrick Kane and Simon Edvinson, 9:36 of the third period, made it 5-3 Vegas. The Red Wings pulled Cam Talbot for the extra attacker with over 3 minutes left, and Jack Eichel iced the game with his 600th career NHL point.
Knocked down in front. Vegas gets the puck. Barbashev steers it out. Eichel coming ahead. Eichel up to the blue. Three men converge. Eichel scores!
Third. 22nd goal of the year for Jack Eichel, an empty netter from Ivan Barbashev, 17:59 of the third period, made it 6-3 Vegas, and all that was left was the final call.
Final 10 seconds ticking off here at T-Mobile Arena. The Knights with lots of pushback, and they beat Detroit.
6-3, the final for the Vegas Golden Knights as they defeat the Detroit Red Wings. Improved to 41-20-8 for 90 points on the year, and next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock, against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Join your fellow VGK fans at the next official watch party on Tuesday, March 25th at Durango Resort and Casino. Enjoy food and drink specials plus VGK giveaways and prizes as the Golden Knights face Minnesota. That's Tuesday at 5 p.m. at Durango Resort and Casino. It's the VGK postgame show, the Golden Knights. Double up the Detroit Red Wings, win this game 6-3, 41-20-8, 90 points on the year for the Vegas Golden Knights. Next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock, against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Just a quick view right now of the Pacific Division. We're going to be doing this quite a bit over the final month or so of the season. Golden Knights 90 points at the top of the division right now. LA right behind them, 85 points, so 5 points back. And then you got the Edmonton Oilers, who are 5 points back right now, but are up 4-2 against the Seattle Kraken at the end of the second period. So with a win for Edmonton in that game, they will pull to within 3 points of the Vegas Golden Knights, same as they started the day today. And for Vegas, now it's about kind of taking this game and turning it right around and getting to it again tomorrow at 5 o'clock against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
It's the extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 6-3 the final. The Golden Knights double up the Detroit Red Wings. Vegas, two wins in a row now on home ice, 41-20-8, 90 points on the year. Next in action tomorrow against the Tampa Bay Lightning, a 5 o'clock puck drop in that game, 4 o'clock pregame show. 702-876-1340 is the number, 702-876-1340. I want to hear from you. Top spot in the Pacific Division, the Vegas Golden Knights. Right now as it stands, 5-point lead over the Los Angeles Kings and the Edmonton Oilers. 13 games remain. The Golden Knights have found the offense once again. Three home games in a row for Vegas with a hat trick. Let's have a little bit of fun. If we want to keep the hat trick train going, tell me very simply who gets the hat trick tomorrow for the Golden Knights. Pick up the phone, dial the number, let me know who keeps this going and who gets a hat trick tomorrow against Tampa. Or we can talk about just your overall vibe check with this team right now. 13 games remain, two really solid performances against the Boston Bruins and the Detroit Red Wings here on home ice. You've got Tampa tomorrow. How are you feeling about this team right now? Beyond that, Jack Eichel, 4-point night, 600 career NHL points, 86 on the year. Will he hit 100? After tonight, I think it's a foregone conclusion. So I want to hear from you if you're at the game, if you're hearing my voice, pick up the phone, dial the number. If you've never called in before, pick up the phone, dial the number. Let's get to it. Wall-to-wall calls here on the extended postgame show. Go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, not only a foregone conclusion, Ryan, but maybe before the end of the month, as opposed to the end of the season, he gets to 100. We've still got four games to play in the month of March, so who knows what Jack's capable of. And, you know, obviously I predicted less than 100, but I'll be happy to eat crow on that one. The turning point for me tonight was when Nick Waugh scored the goal with 2 seconds left in the period. If it wasn't for that, maybe things don't go our way as much. That really did the job, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a really important goal. I mean, obviously, 2020 hindsight being what it is, you look at that early goal from the Detroit Red Wings in the second period from Patrick Kane. If Waugh doesn't get that goal with 3 seconds left in the first period, then you're looking at a tie game. And even though the Golden Knights push back, that's a different scenario than having a lead and still feeling like you're okay based on the score of the game.
Yeah, exactly. 3-2 was scary for a few moments, but again, it was 3-1 at the end of one. Tell me about the power play, because we keep working on it at every practice. And somebody said today, practice makes perfect. And, it's really down to pass the puck from the top to the lower left and then find a way to pass the puck between or through the crease to a guy waiting on the lower right. Now, it seems so simple. Why can't teams defend it any better than they do?
Well, I mean, teams have defended it well in the past, and thanks, Mike, for the call. There were times where teams would kind of back off of Mark Stone and take away his outlets, more or less forcing him to try that stuff play that he tried early on in this game and was unsuccessful in. And then there are other teams that are going to try to, you know, pressure Mark Stone a little bit more so that that leaves kind of the other options open. I think for the Golden Knights, what they have done so well this season is they have different progressions and different looks and different plays that they're looking to execute. Obviously, Mark Stone going into the bumper for Tomas Hertl has been a lethal play for the Golden Knights. There are times where Jack Eichel will bypass that dip down low to Mark Stone to kind of feed one into the bumper for Hertl as well. And then there are other times where the Golden Knights are looking for that backdoor pass a little bit higher up in the zone to Pavel Dorofeev. So there are different progressions and different options for Mark Stone. And I think what really makes a power play dangerous and why the Golden Knights have succeeded so well this year in their power play numbers is that they don't have one play that they're looking for. Yes, more of it is going to run through Tomas Hertl. Yes, there are going to be a lot of progressions that eventually get the puck on the stick of Hertl in the middle of the ice. But there are other options and other opportunities, not to mention the fact that Pavel Dorofeev and now Jack Eichel are unafraid to rip one on a one-timer early on in a power play as well. So it just opens up a lot of different lanes and avenues. And so you have to kind of pick your poison. And I just think that some teams are choosing to be a little bit more passive on Mark Stone, but the Golden Knights are still able to find ways to kind of work through their plays, work through their progressions. And that's why they're scoring at an absolutely elite clip. Beyond which, the point remains, they are elite hockey players and they have everybody suited in the right spot. And I think that's important to kind of highlight as well. This isn't by accident. This is just a very, very good, very efficient, high IQ power play for the Golden Knights. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. I want to hear from you. First place team in the Pacific Division. We'll go back out to the phone lines, bring in Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Ryan?
I'm awesome.
I wanted to make a comment on what you were talking about on the pregame show.
Okay.
About Pavel Dorofeev. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a funny little story. Before game one, I was at the Golden Carpet with a friend, and she was getting an autograph from Pav. And while he was signing it, I said, "Hey, Pav, I expect 40 goals from you this season." And he signs the autograph, and he looks up at me like, "What are you talking about, Willis?" You know, and I said, "I expect 40 from you this season." And, he could possibly do it. He probably won't. But, you know, at the playoffs, yeah, he's going to be there. But I have a question for you that I want you to comment on. Mm-hmm. When he's on the power play and he's on the right side, he's got such an amazing shot. What would your opinion be on putting him on the right wing, kind of like Ovi is on the left wing with his right shot?
Yeah, I think, you know, ideally what you're looking for is Jack Eichel and everything kind of running through Jack Eichel. I do think that you have everybody suited in the right spot because Pavel Dorofeev's a left-hand shot. You want him to be open to that one-timer. Ovechkin's a right-hand shot, so it's a little bit different in terms of the side. So I think the way that it works right now for the Golden Knights makes a lot of sense. Everything's running through Jack Eichel, but what we have seen out of the Golden Knights, and specifically Pavel Dorofeev, is when he's ready to hammer that one-timer like he did in this game today, he's being assertive with it. And sometimes it'll happen right off of a faceoff win. They'll work the puck back to Noah Hanifin, then they'll kind of rotate over for Pav for that one-timer. But the fact of the matter is he's in the right circle for him to be able to get that one-timer off in a very similar way that you would from Alex Ovechkin. And as he becomes more and more comfortable at the NHL level ripping those one-timers on the power play, you're going to see those numbers grow even more than they have.
Yeah, I was actually wondering what you thought about having him on the right wing on 5-on-5.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing the right side right now with Hertl and Saad. So Saad's on the left side. You got Hertl down the middle and Pav's playing on the right side. So, I think in that regard, he's kind of well suited to the spot that he's in. I like Saad on that line with Hertl. So I wouldn't change much of what's going on there. And, you know, again, to kind of look at it from that perspective, I think the versatility that Dorofeev has, his ability to play both sides, and the fact that he's comfortable as a lefty on the right side is kind of allowing a little bit more for the Golden Knights in terms of filling out the left side.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yep, appreciate it, Brian. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Mark. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good.
What do you got for me?
So, here's the deal with the we're going to continue the hat trick train tomorrow night, but Riley Smith breaks the seal, coming back, scores three in front of the crowd against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right, I like it, Mark. Anything else you want to hit on?
That's it. Go Knights, go.
All right, great stuff, Mark. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340, couple different avenues today. Keep the hat trick train going. Who gets a hat trick tomorrow against the Tampa Bay Lightning? Golden Knights, top spot in the Pacific Division. Keep winning. Offense is coming. Another game with hat tricks. This time, Tomas Hertl gets to 30 goals. Let's go back out to the phone line, 702-876-1340. Bring in Eric. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
This is Mark.
Oh, my bad. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
All right, I'm great. Hey, if we're gonna go hat tricks, I'm throwing way out there, way out of left field. I'm going Nick Hague. I love him. Hopefully he does it. I wanted to talk about one of the great things is I hope you didn't talk about this just a minute ago, but you know, talk about winning different ways. Last game, controversial penalty on Stone, and we kill off the penalty, and you know, we go strong. Today, about the same time of the game, there's a power play and Detroit goes up 1-0, and we don't let that bother us, and we keep rolling and we just do what we do, and we score goals and tie it up quickly, and then we come back and take the lead. So I love to see that too.
Yeah, you know what, I'm with you. The power play and the penalties that were kind of called in this game, it was a little wonky, right? Like, I mean, obviously the trip on Mark Stone was a trip for sure, but there were certainly some penalties left on the table, so to speak. And I think the Golden Knights' ability to kind of play through that, not let it get to them and kind of get to their game was really important. So that's a great observation. Well done there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think when we're playing well, mm-hmm. we don't let the referee calls bother us.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think for the most part, we do that. Our especially our head coach reflects that all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, our guys don't get rattled. And when we're playing well, it doesn't matter what the refs do. They don't control the game. And when we're struggling, then they get more. They have more influence. So that's always great to see.
All right, great stuff. Mark, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. That's the number if you'd like to join us on the other side of the break. Taking more of your phone calls next on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 6-3 the final. The Golden Knights double up the Detroit Red Wings. Vegas 41-20-8, 90 points on the year. Next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock, here inside T-Mobile Arena against the Tampa Bay Lightning. 702-876-1340, that's the number if you'd like to join us here on the Extended Postgame Show. If you're at the game, I'd love you to call in. The next gentleman on the line was at the game tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. Going back out to the phone line, 702-876-1340, Nick Raboni. Nick, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I had to call in and just say thank you to all the fans for the standing ovation tonight. Our team really, you know, we really, really appreciate it. I thought that was awesome. And, you know, I really just thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to call in and thank them.
What was it like to see kind of the championship moments on the Nitron highlighting the ACHA championship that your team won?
It's incredible. I mean, honestly, we got it as soon as we got into the building. I mean, fans are coming up and congratulating us and taking pictures of the cup and everything like that. I mean, hockey, you know, Vegas has turned into a hockey town, no doubt. And, you know, tonight for us is kind of just the cherry on top.
All right. I know I asked you yesterday on the VGK Insider Show if it had sunk in yet for you that, you know, UNLV Rebel Hockey, they're national champions. Going through kind of today, being at T-Mobile Arena, displaying the championship, being, you know, there to psych everybody up for the third period with the siren, like, has it sunk in now?
You know, I think it has, and yeah. I think all of my returners have said the same thing. This is too much fun not to try and repeat, do it again. So, I mean, for us, I think it's an added motivation as well.
All right. Nick, thanks so much for jumping on here. I appreciate it. Congratulations once again to UNLV Rebel Hockey, ACHA national champions, and I do it again. Let's run it back.
Thanks, Ryan. Chat soon.
That is Nick Raboni, the associate head coach of the UNLV Rebel Hockey team. He was at the game. Again, a great ovation, just phenomenal ovation for the UNLV Rebel Hockey team as they were in the building today. They scored 7 goals in their national championship victory. The Golden Knights, they had 6 in this one. So some good vibes from the UNLV Rebel Hockey team to the Vegas Golden Knights in this one. We'll check in on the text line, 702-876-1340. Again, phone lines are open. We have lines open right now, so if you want to call in, I'd love to hear from you. Was trying to go for the wave in the second period too early in your estimation? There was a bit of a wave going on in the arena, so if you were here at the game, I'd love to hear from you. Pick up the phone, dial the number 702-876-1340. We're also having a little bit of fun. The Golden Knights now, 3 home games in a row, have scored a hat trick. Obviously, we've got to keep that going. Who gets the hat trick tomorrow? Could be anybody. We've heard from a couple of people. Nick Hague was a guy thrown out there. Riley Smith was a guy thrown out there. Who gets the hat trick? Dial the number. Let me know who it is tomorrow for the Golden Knights. 702-876-1340. Again, checking in on the text line, Christopher says that it's going to be Mark Stone. Wild guess. Mark Stone, hat trick tomorrow. So we'll see what goes on there. Tim says Golden Knights played almost full 60 minutes. Good to see them score multiple different ways. He asked about William Karlsson and if he was injured in this game. There was a moment in the third period where William Karlsson was kind of jockeying for position in front of the net, a Detroit net, and looked to be in a little bit of discomfort. He did go over to the bench. Again, looked to be in a little bit of discomfort on the bench. Did not miss a shift. So good to see Karlsson kind of not miss any time in terms of the game. I generally speaking, if Karlsson's going to finish the game in that situation, he's probably fine. Didn't seem any worse for wear after that and had a regular shift the final 5-6 minutes of the game. So I would imagine that Karlsson is just fine. But good question there. Ralph says gearing up for the playoffs. Yeah, you're right on the money. John, fantastic game. Great effort. Proud of the team. Yeah, I'm with you there. Really solid stuff from the Vegas Golden Knights. Rachel's chiming in here on the text line. Sad hat trick or sod hat trick. I get thrown off sometimes with some of the nicknames. But anyway, Brandon Sod with the hat trick for tomorrow all around the net. I'll be honest. I think the last 2 games, Brandon Sod, he's been an absolute menace. He's been fantastic. And with Brandon Sod, the dynamic is his speed. It's his ability to get up and down the ice. He can motor. And that reminds me of one thing that I wanted to touch on here, and I hadn't yet done so. If you go back to the second goal of the game for Tomáš Hertl, and if you were at the game, I challenge you to go back and watch this play that Hertl makes. But below the goal line, holding on to possession, Tomáš Hertl makes an indirect pass off the back of the net to Brandon Sod to keep the play alive. Usually when players do that, they're trying to pass the puck to themselves, but it was a backhand indirect pass off the back of the net by Tomáš Hertl to Brandon Sod that kept the play going in the right direction for the Golden Knights. Sod eventually works the puck back to Korzak over to McNabb, and then Hertl is able to go from behind the net to the front of the net and get the tip on it. It was a phenomenal play from Hertl. And again, I challenge you, if you were at the game, if you didn't see it live or you missed it in real time, That play from Hurdle is why he is such a menace down low, and it was great awareness by Brandon Saad to recognize what he was doing, pick up that puck, and keep that play going. Take a break. Come back with more on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 6-3 the final. The Golden Knights double up the Detroit Red Wings. Vegas now winners of two in a row, 41-20 and 890 points on the year. Still top spot in the Pacific Division. And next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock here inside T-Mobile Arena, against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners, our callers, our texters. It's your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your text, and your input. Until tomorrow, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.